Hello once again, everybody, and welcome into That SEC Podcast. This is episode number 17, and we are happy to be with you once again today. I'm Cody McClure, joined by Michael Bratton, SEC Mike, as always here, and getting ready to bring you some picks for week six SEC football. A lot of exciting games this weekend, but first of all, we're going to get into a little something different this week. Going to take a few of your questions. Mike, I'll go ahead and send it over to you, and you told me that you've got some pretty good stuff, so let's take some questions.
Hey, Cody. Yeah, we reached out to some of our Twitter followers, just kind of asking for any SEC-related questions they came up with, and believe it or not, just everyone really wanted to know about the coaching situations at Tennessee and LSU, so I thought we'd dig into that first. It's interesting to me that it seems like those two fan bases in particular seems like they're already looking ahead to 2018, so I thought we'd dive into some of these questions here.
Sounds good.
All right, the first question I got, and I thought this was pretty interesting. Someone was asking me, would LSU really fire Coach O after 1 year? What do you make of that?
Well, I think that they would, because I think that a lot of people there in the administration probably realized already. I mean, maybe they didn't have as much of a say as other people in the administration, but I think you've got a lot of people there that realize, hey, this was a mistake. They took a chance with Orgeron, and I think everyone would agree on that, because they swung for the fences, they didn't hit. And I think they took a big risk when they hired Ed Orgeron. And, you know, it's still early in the season. I mean, it's 3-2, but the team just looks really bad. And he looks like he is not the right guy for that job. So if this thing tanks the way that I think it could, and LSU ends up losing, you know, if it's a 4-8 kind of year or 5-7, something like that, I would not be surprised at all to see LSU make a move.
Yeah, and I would tend to agree with that, especially if the record is that poor. You know, the way they've been playing the last few games would indicate that's the way it's going. But at the same time, I think there's too much talent. There's a lot of good coaches on that staff. I don't think it's going to go that far. You know, we'll kind of get into that when we make our picks in just a moment. But I don't see it going quite that far. And I was ready to go in with the, you know, move on from Coach O, because I think, you know, making a mistake at the head coaching position is bad enough, but prolonging that error by keeping the guy around, I think that's even a bigger mistake. But I just think, you know, kind of looking into it, LSU is a very, you know, essentially a broke state at this point. I don't know how tolerant they're going to be if they're going to have $20 million in buyouts going back to Les Miles and now Coach O, and then you have to throw, you know, if they're going to get rid of Coach O, you got to assume that they're going to bring in an A-list guy to correct it in a hurry. Let's say, you know, I'm just throwing this out there, Chip Kelly, what's he going to cost you? He's going to cost you another $20 million, I would think. So, you know, they're just, I don't know if LSU is in a position right now to just be throwing money at the problem. I think, you know, unless they go, like you said, 4-8, I think even if they go six and six or better, and I think they will, I think they have to bring him back for another year.
Yeah, and that whole state is having money issues. But, you know, I just feel like the standard is too high there at LSU. Like, I feel like if it ends up being really bad, then they will pony up. You know, if it's 8-4, maybe even 7-5, maybe, you know, I might agree with you there. But, you know, and there might be enough talent to where that's the case. But to me, I think LSU made a huge mistake when they hired Ed Orgeron. And mm-hmm. So whatever happens at this point, I'm not going to be surprised to see the headline, Ed Orgeron fired, because it's just a matter of time to me, whether that's, you know, this year or 2 years down the road, it's going to happen.
Now, I would say that I think the AD, Joe Oliva, is for sure going to get fired, and I think that's the first step. So I think he's gonna get let go at some point. He's just been a train wreck there at LSU, so we'll see what the dominoes fall after that. All right, so the next question I got, I thought you'd appreciate this one. Two people actually asked me this. Why would T. Martin be a bad hire for Tennessee?
I don't know that T. Martin has really done enough as a coach to warrant the fact that, like, I don't know that he would has earned the Tennessee job. I don't know that he would be bad, honestly. I mean, I think he's a pretty good recruiter. He's shown that he can develop quarterbacks, I guess, to some extent. And, you know, he's been around. He's been at USC, was the receivers coach there, now the offensive coordinator, spent a little time at Kentucky coaching receivers. But I think that Tennessee fans are kind of enamored with the fact that T. Martin played for Tennessee and won a national title as Tennessee's quarterback. I don't know that that necessarily correlates over to being a head coach. This is a guy who has never been a head coach. I mean, you look down, I'm looking down at his resume right now. He wasn't even a high school head coach. He was an offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach, and then went and coached quarterbacks at New Mexico, moved up from there. This guy has never coached a team as a head coach, and you're going to tell me he's going to come into Knoxville and be the head coach at Tennessee? I'm just not buying it yet. You know, we've seen Kirby Smart. He's seemed to transition over to Georgia, being fine, having never been a head coach. But personally, I like a proven guy. And so that's why I don't think I would take T. Martin at this point. And another thing, Mike, is a lot of people would say that he just kind of walked into that OC job with Clay Helton at USC.
Yeah, a lot of the points you touched on, I agree with 100%. I mean, he's not even been an offensive coordinator yet for two full seasons. To give him a job, you know, I kind of battled back and forth with people. You know, a lot of people think Tennessee is a top five, top 10 job. I'm not ready to go that far, but I think without a doubt it's a top 20 job, maybe a top 15 job. And I just don't think that you can hand that to someone with such little experience. You know, there's a lot more that goes into it than just football. If the football team crashes, the university to an extent can crash, and there's just too much uncertainty with him. You know, you mentioned, you know, he's somewhat of a quarterback developer. Well, in my mind, Sam Darnold has taken a step back this year. Now, is that T. Martin's fault? I don't know, but that's not that great of to speak of T. Martin. And heading into the previous season, he didn't even start T. Martin. They started Max Brown. And I think that really, you know, that kind of wrecked USC's chances of getting to the playoff. I mean, they caught fire in the tail end once Darnold got in there, but you got to question, why was he not starting in the first place? So, you know, just as you went on, you know, he's just not ready for this type of job.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement on that. I just think that there are a lot better options out there right now than T. Martin. I'm not saying that he wouldn't do a good job, but I don't know that he's ready.
Speaking of a guy who would be ready, I got another question. Justin Fuente, would he be a fit for Tennessee, and is he gettable for Tennessee?
I think that Justin Fuente would be great. You know, I really liked what he did at Memphis. Of course, he had Paxton Lynch there as well. You know, what he's done at Virginia Tech so far, I think you're starting to see he's already built that from the ground up. They're looking pretty good in year two. They were 10-4 last year. I think Justin Fuente would be an absolutely fantastic fit at Tennessee. And another thing is he gives you Memphis back. He's got ties in Memphis. That's a metro area of well over a million people. And it's kind of an area that has always been, you know, Ole Miss has kind of owned it. Mississippi State goes in there. Arkansas goes in there. LSU goes in there. But if Tennessee could really control the whole state, not just the mid-state in Nashville, but to own Memphis, I think Justin Fuente brings that to you as well. So I think he would be a good fit. Now, whether or not he would leave Virginia Tech in year two, you know, it's tough to say. I mean, going back to where Tennessee is at as far as a job goes, it's much better than Virginia Tech. But is it good enough? Is it a top 10 job or is it a top 15 job? Is it on the fringe somewhere there? You know, if it was Alabama, if it was USC, Texas, the really elite jobs, I think you leave Virginia Tech, but is Tennessee good enough? That would be my question.
Yeah, I agree just about everything you said. Fuente, I think he'd be a tremendous fit for Tennessee. I think he's a great coach. I don't quite know if he's done enough to earn that job, but, you know, I wouldn't knock the hire if they made it. But as you alluded to, is he willing to go to Tennessee? I think the answer there would be no. Virginia Tech has a really good AD in Whit Babcock. And as far as to my understanding, he's got a very good relationship with Justin Fuente. And I think that's an area that people, you know, they don't put enough time and consideration into when they're doing these coaching searches and naming candidates. The relationship with the AD is crucial. Whit Babcock's got a tremendous national profile. I think that program just kind of fits Justin Fuente. He's not a flamboyant guy. He's not a flashy guy. He's kind of a, you know, somewhat of an underdog, but, you know, excellent in his schemes. That kind of, he just seems to be almost a perfect fit for Virginia Tech. And, you know, Tennessee is a better job than Virginia Tech, but it's a tougher job. You got to go up against Alabama every year. You have to go against Florida and Georgia. And I think Florida and Georgia, the way it's just set up with the talent they have closer to their state, I think those jobs are more desirable, and it's just very difficult to go against those teams, whereas Virginia Tech's kind of in the easier bracket of the ACC. I'm not sure you make that move if you're Justin Fuente.
You know, talking about a relationship with an AD and how people tend to overlook that when they're looking at these kind of things, you know, one guy that comes to mind is Bobby Petrino, because he doesn't have an AD. Mm-hmm. And I do wonder if, you know, whether we're talking LSU, Tennessee, potentially Texas A&M, one of these big-time SEC jobs coming open, and you got to think at least one or two of them will, if not all three. I do wonder if Petrino could maybe make a return to the SEC at some point.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a good enough coach to earn that. Just obviously the huge character concerns. He's never really, to my knowledge, I don't think he's ever stayed at a job longer than 4 years.
Character concerns? Was there some kind of issue with him?
Well, I mean, the list is a little too long to get into, but, you know, I think a lot of fans, especially at LSU, especially at Tennessee, if they can get a guy like that and he can take them to places they haven't been, you know, specifically I'm thinking at LSU, if he can get them to beat Alabama on a consistent basis, if he can get a Tennessee to the East, you know, win the East and head to Atlanta, I think fans won't care about any of that. Now, will the administration, will the boosters, I think that's the real issue right there.
Could be interesting. You got any other good questions?
Yeah, Chip Kelly. Someone asked me, is he a better fit at Texas A&M or Tennessee?
I don't know. It's hard for me to say where he would be a better fit. I think that right now Tennessee is probably a better job. And, you know, I would say A&M would be close. I think Tennessee, LSU, and A&M would all be pretty close, mm-hmm. as far as how good of a job they are. You have easier access to talent at Texas A&M, but you've got the administration issues over there with, you know, the Board of Regents that wants to run the show. So it's hard for me to say where Chip Kelly would be a better fit, because you've got to play Alabama every year no matter what. I mean, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, the one thing that comes to mind when you're comparing Tennessee and Texas A&M in relation to Chip Kelly, you know, this has been mentioned more and more recently with Chip Kelly's name being thrown out there, but, you know, he got I believe 18-month show cause for some he was essentially paying off a guy to steer players to Oregon, and that guy is from Texas. So I think there might be some bad blood there with the high school coaches and Chip Kelly. I'm trying to think of the running back's name. He was a five-star prospect from Texas, but, you know, everyone in the country wanted him. I'm sure all the Texas schools wanted them. And now that, you know, it was essentially proven that Chip Kelly was paying, I think he paid this guy $25,000 for this one player. I don't know. I think there might be some bad blood, and I think when you take over a program like Texas A&M or obviously Texas, you just can't start on the wrong foot with the high school coaches down there in the Lone Star State. So I think that would be a huge hurdle for him.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of who that running back was. LaMichael James, or no?
I think his name was like C. Shrunk or something like that. He didn't even last very long at Oregon, and he ended up transferring to Baylor, and he played for Art Briles, and he was a star at Baylor for a couple years.
C. Strunk, Lance C. Strunk.
That's his name. He was one of the top running backs in the nation at one point.
I remember him now. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's hard for me to say, like, which one of those, because I think Chip Kelly would be a good fit at either school. I mean, either way, the kind of offense he's bringing in is going to be somewhat similar to what Sumlin and Butch Jones have done. Mm-hmm. Maybe A&M might have better personnel for him early on than what Tennessee has, but as far as how he fits in, I think he would be a pretty good hire at either school.
All right, this is another question I got. You know, we're already starting with the groomers. We're already starting with Chip Kelly talk. But Jay Dalton, at JDalton04, he wants to know, who's the most realistic option for Tennessee if Butch is let go?
Most realistic option for Tennessee. That would be, most realistic, I think Tennessee would be probably an up-and-comer. I mean, just from what we've seen from Tennessee in the past, it's hard to say because John Curry, new AD, we've never really seen him make a football hire. So he might go get a big name, but if you look historically, Tennessee doesn't really hire the biggest name coaches. They don't hire Chip Kelly, Bob Stoops, John Gruden. I would not be at all shocked to see Tennessee bring in a Jeff Brohm, a Mike Norvell. I hope that's not what happens. You know, I'd hope to see Tennessee go a little bit bigger than that, but they never really have. And so it is tough for me to say because we've never seen John Curry do it. But right now I would say realistically, if you're Tennessee, you go for Chip Kelly, though.
So that's going to be your most realistic option, huh?
Maybe not most realistic. It's hard for me to answer this one straight up.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you said all that because, unfortunately, we're kind of on the same path here. We've just been through this so many times before with Tennessee. You know, these huge names are thrown out there, and for whatever reason, you know, Tennessee finds a reason not to go after these guys. I don't think Chip Kelly is going to be the guy. I think that's the obvious guy, and I think that would be the first guy I would reach out to. I really don't think it's going to be John Gruden. I think that's kind of crazy. But as you alluded to, I think it'll be a good candidate. It'll be a young candidate, and I've really come around on this, but I think the guy that's most realistic in my mind is Scott Frost at Central Florida there. I think that's the type of guy they're going to go after, a young guy who, you know, he had a ton of success at Oregon as an offensive coordinator. He took over a Central Florida team that I believe was 0-12 2 years ago, and he's already got them 4-0. I think this guy's just trolling seriously hard, but somebody at CBS Sports, they have UCF as the number 5 team in the nation. I mean, that's a joke. They got like Auburn. They have Auburn at like 24. So that tells you about his rankings. But, you know, regardless of that idiocy, you know, clearly that he knows how to coach. He's got this team rolling. You know, if they have like a Tom Herman type season where they go 12-1, 13-1 or whatever, I think he's going to be a really hot name. People are already kind of penciling him in at Nebraska. But, you know, as we kind of alluded to a little bit with T. Martin, I think people in the media and fans really overvalue where a guy played. I don't think that's as big a factor as people make it out to be. And I think if you want to match up Nebraska and Tennessee, I don't think those jobs are close in my mind. I would take Tennessee over Nebraska in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I think that would be pretty much a consensus there from me on that one.
All right. So that's all the coaching questions we have, but we've got one final one that I thought would lead perfectly into these games. I love this name, at Big Orange Vols. He wants to know, what game should I put my mortgage payment on this week?
Oh boy, mortgage payment this week. I think I would go. Honestly, one of my favorite ones this week was the game that's happening as we speak, NC State and Louisville. I thought NC State would cover, and they are right now. It's 24-19, but it's I guess it's a little bit late to put down a mortgage on that one. So if I had to go with anything right now, I think I might go with Alabama to cover against Texas A&M.
Ooh, okay, interesting.
I know we're opposite on that one.
Yeah, my game for sure is Texas A&M. I think they're going to cover.
Well, we're totally just giving opposite. We're going to rattle. We're rattling the hell out of this guy now.
So as I have it currently listed, Alabama's a 26.5 point favorite at Texas A&M. I've really started to come around on the Aggies. You know, I thought they were dead in the water after that week one game. But Kellen Mond, he's really impressed me. He really is Josh Dobbs 2.0. You know, he's not the perfect thrower, but he'll just get you what he needs to with his legs. He's capable of making a big throw here and there. He's improving every week, and on top of that, they've just got great running backs. They got Christian Kirk. Their defense is really impressed me the last couple of weeks. I think Alabama just killing people. That built up their perception. Obviously, they're probably the best team in the SEC, if not the nation. But going into College Station, that crowd really basically won A&M the game last week against South Carolina. I think they're good enough to make this a game. And if Kellen Mond plays the game of his life, which is obviously asking a lot against this defense, you know, I mean, this is going to sound crazy, but I don't think, you know, I would not be shocked if Texas A&M wins this game outright.
I would be pretty shocked. I don't think Texas A&M has a chance to win the game outright. I mean, I think it could be, you know, a 21-point game maybe, but you think the Aggies really have a shot?
Well, I'm picking them to lose by 17. So I'm not picking it by any means, but I'm just, you know, this is a recipe for, I think, Alabama overlooking them, and just Texas A&M just continues to improve. They continue to improve. If they continue that trend, you know, I've not been very impressed with the opponents Alabama's been playing. You know, FSU was a super hyped game. They're great on defense. That was about it. Name another team they played that was worth anything. I think Vanderbilt was exposed. Ole Miss gave up in that game. I don't think they're quite this 60-point monster that they're made out to be at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to beat A&M by 60 like they have the last 2 weeks, but I still think they're good enough to win by 21-35. So, but anyway, as far as, you know, a lock of the week, it kind of caught me off guard. Because usually I look at these, I go through all these on Friday, you know, mm-hmm. I'll post my bets of the week. But I don't know. I don't want to steer anybody wrong. I don't want anybody to lose their house because of me. So I guess I'm holding off. I'm holding off right now because I don't want to go opposite of you, and then we confuse the guy who asked this to the point where he just bets everything he has on one side. So I don't know.
So it sounds like I won that one. So just bet heavy on A&M. That's the end right there.
No, I don't advise that though. I don't know. I'm staying out of this one.
All right, so we've kind of let's just go with that game. I'm picking Alabama to win it 45-28. Do you have a score prediction for that one?
I mean, since we've been talking about it, I'm thinking Alabama is going to cover the spread, which is still at 25.5, right? I am pretty confident in that. It's 26.5 now. I am pretty confident on that one that Alabama will cover that. Like I was just saying, I really don't think it'll be a 60-point game, but I'll take my chances on Bama by 4 touchdowns. So give me Alabama in that game to cover. I'll say 49-28, Alabama wins.
All right. Now, this is kind of the least interesting game, so I just kind of want to get it over with. But Missouri travels to Kentucky, and the line is Kentucky minus 10. And I'm going to pull a stunner here. I'm going Missouri 31, Kentucky 30. So I like Missouri to win outright.
Really? That is something. That is something. You're going bold this week.
I think this is going to be a circle of the wagons type game. I think, Missouri's had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. I don't think they're as terrible as they've shown. Maybe they are, but this is essentially their last chance, I think, to kind of show that they've got they've got plenty of talent on this team. And I think Kentucky is still kind of shook from that Florida game. Had they won that, this would have been a magical season for Kentucky. Now they slept walk through the game they were playing Eastern Michigan, I believe, last week. They only won by 4 points. I was talking to Adam Spencer, the guy that writes for Mizzou for Saturday Down South, and he said that he thought Missouri would do better on the road this week, just trying to get out of Mizzou, all the negative vibes there. So I like this team. Sometimes we see teams go on the road, and it's kind of a business atmosphere. It's going somewhere, it's playing a game, and going home. I like the Tigers in this one.
I think that's a really good point by Adam because of all the negativity that has been circulating kind of around Mizzou. And I think you made some good points there, too. I'm actually buying in. I don't think you're that far off. I don't think Missouri wins the game, but I also don't think Kentucky covers 9.5 points. So I see this being kind of what we've seen from Kentucky so far this year against, their games are in the 20s. Their defense plays pretty well. But they kind of struggle against teams, and no matter who they're playing, Eastern Michigan, Eastern Kentucky, Southern Miss, all of their scores very similar in the 20s, even the Florida game. So I think this one will be in the 20s. I'll take Kentucky to win this game. Let's go somewhere around 24-20. I'll take the Wildcats.
And how bizarre is it, one last note on this game, that this game will be played October 7th, and this will be Missouri's first away game. They've not had a neutral site game.
That is kind of crazy. I remember when the schedules first came out, I remember seeing that like a year ago and thought it was kind of odd.
All right, so the noon kickoff, Georgia's coming to Nashville. They're going to take on Vanderbilt. Georgia's a 17.5-point favorite is what I have it as, and I like Georgia to win the game, but I actually like Vanderbilt to cover. I'm going Georgia 30, Vanderbilt 16.
Georgia 30, Vanderbilt 16. Okay, I found my pick now. For the guy who asked the question about, what would be a lock of the week, mm-hmm. this is going to be my SEC lock this week. Georgia will cover 17.5 against Vanderbilt. I know it's on the road in Nashville, but I really don't care, because Georgia's given up 3 points in the last 2 weeks. Vanderbilt has already shown they can be shut out at home once, which was against Alabama, I understand. But it's not like going to Vanderbilt is going to Neyland Stadium or going to Baton Rouge, and Georgia had no trouble in Neyland Stadium anyway. Mm-hmm. So, with all that said, I think Georgia will continue to roll, because I didn't think Georgia would replicate their performance against Mississippi State a second week in a row, and then they did just that against Tennessee. So the train's rolling. I'm going all dogs this week. I think it's going to be a total beatdown, probably 38-7, something like that.
Mm. Interesting. And this is a revenge game for Georgia, so there should be no lack of motivation for this one.
Yeah, so that'll be my lock. Georgia covers 17.5. So to the guy who wants to bet on that, do that. Don't screw anything up with the other ones.
All right, the next, I believe this is also a noon game. Ole Miss travels to Auburn. The line is Auburn minus 21.5. I kind of switched on this. I thought Auburn would kill Ole Miss. I'm very high on Auburn. But this series has been very, very tight in the recent history. So I think it's going to be a closer game. I like Auburn to win it. Auburn 35, Ole Miss 23.
Okay. I expect a beating in this one. I kind of think, I know it's not that crazy to think. I don't know that Ole Miss can put up very many points on Auburn's defense. We saw last week against Alabama. We saw against Cal, who is not known for having defense, but they've been better under Justin Wilcox. Shea Patterson, honestly, I mean, he's a good quarterback, but kind of like the Drew Lock effect, right? Most of his numbers have come against inferior defenses. And so I'm not buying this at all with Ole Miss. I don't think that they'll do anything noteworthy against Auburn. I think Auburn gets out of this one easy. It's in Jordan-Hare Stadium. I don't see this being a game whatsoever. I'll take Auburn 35-10.
Hey, on a quick note on this, you know, maybe it's just because it's, you know, what's going on right now and it's just Butch Jones and Tennessee, but not that it bothers me, but I just noticed, you know, all wherever you look, all over our site, Saturday Down South, or, you know, Colin Coward, USA Today, pretty much you name the outlet, they've got it like a hot seat ranking of who's the next coach at Tennessee. They're already ready to kick Butch Jones out the door. Why are we not seeing this at Ole Miss? I mean, what have we seen from Matt Luke? I mean, he's been terrible, in my opinion.
I think it's just like nobody cares about Ole Miss since the because since the Hugh Freeze thing, I guess people are kind of just looking at Matt Luke as basically what he is. You know, he's the interim there until they find another real coach. And mm-hmm. So I don't think that he really even has had a chance. I mean, this might be a chance for him to prove that he could be the head coach, but I don't think people are really taking him seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was given a shot and he's already lost it. That's how I view it, based on what I've seen. So,
I would tend to agree with that. I mean, you know, and their only loss is what, to Cal, other than the, you know, the automatic Alabama, but. I mean, they've still got a chance to look better, maybe pull an upset somewhere. And we talked about before the season that Ole Miss, you could see them being the kind of team that would do that, maybe over LSU. Not that that – I don't know that that would be an upset at this point. But I just don't think it's going to happen against Auburn.
All right. Arkansas traveling to South Carolina. This line, actually, South Carolina, I think, opened as the favorite, but now Arkansas is the favorite. So I have it at Arkansas -2 right now. And I like Arkansas not only to cover, but to win. I'll take the Razorbacks 30, South Carolina 20.
You and I are in agreement on this one. We are in total agreement. And I think we kind of we touched on it in the first of the week podcast on this one. South Carolina just... You know, this is East versus West. East teams typically don't beat West teams. Not that that's really my rationale for this one, but South Carolina hasn't looked good to me. And people in Arkansas, like people in Fayetteville, are freaking out about Arkansas and Brett Bielema. But this is the kind of game that Arkansas should win. Mm-hmm. Those losses they've had, I mean, the A&M loss is not that bad. It went to overtime. I think A&M's better than people give them credit for, and TCU has been playing like a top 10 team. So, mm-hmm. You know, Arkansas is not as bad as the perception is and as bad as their fans are freaking out. South Carolina, on the other hand, you know, a struggle with Louisiana Tech. You don't have any playmakers hardly on offense. You just lost A&M. I like Arkansas to go in there on the road. I'm totally with you. Get a fairly comfortable win. I'll go 31-20.
Yeah, and also to kind of back off, you know, piggyback off what you've been saying about Arkansas, I just don't think that's a program that, you know, I don't think there's much benefit to kicking Bielema out, paying him, what, like $17 million. They're not going to bring in a John Gruden, a Chip Kelly. So unless you're going to do that, I think that's the type of program where it's almost like an Iowa, where you have a good coach, you stick with him, you let him build it up. Obviously, things have kind of went sideways a little bit the last couple years, but you know, there's a solid foundation there. There's plenty of good players there. It just seems like this year's roster is not that deep, and the injuries they've suffered have really hurt them. I don't think they're a terrible team, and I think they're going to sneak up on a couple teams. They should be favored against South Carolina. They should beat South Carolina. But some of these other teams, like maybe an Auburn, maybe in LSU. These games, I think by the year's end, they'll beat one or two of these teams.
And Bielema's teams usually do that, don't they? Like, they'll typically figure it out toward the end of the year, mid-October to November. They really didn't ever look great toward the end of last year. I mean, they finished the year off losing to Missouri. But I'm with you. I think Arkansas is better than people are giving them credit for. And I think they'll get a nice win on Saturday in Columbia.
Okay, the final game in the SEC this weekend. This game could be a little ugly, but it's the game I'm most looking forward to just because I'm not sure what's going to happen. But LSU travels to Florida. There's just so many backstories to get into here. But I really like LSU to come out on top. I got LSU 23, Florida 21. And the spread as I have it right now is Florida is actually the favorite by 3.5.
I think that Florida will probably dominate this game for the most part in the trenches, but Florida is not good enough. What I mean is I think that Florida's front seven will be absolute hell on LSU's offensive line. But on the other side of the ball, LSU's D-line and Florida's O-line, I think that's more comparable, more of a better matchup. So I think Florida has the advantage in this game. It's at home. They're a little bit of a deeper team, but when it comes to playmakers, Florida doesn't have any. You know, with Jordan Scarlett, Antonio Callaway, with those guys being out, with the suspensions and all that kind of stuff, Florida's thin, LSU's thin. Both of these teams kind of suck, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But I just think Florida will probably squeak it out at home. I see it being a lot like last year. A 17-16, 17-13 kind of game, low scoring. And I like Florida to hold on in the end. As far as the key to the game, I mean, if LSU could challenge Florida downfield, we've seen Danny Etling at times with his big arm, and he's made some great throws. You know, if he could somehow, if LSU could somehow open up the passing game, I would take him to win, but I just think it's not going to happen. I think it's going to be ugly. It's going to be low scoring. Florida makes a play or two on defense, and Florida does what Florida does. They find a way to win the game.
Now, I don't know if you've heard this rumor, but apparently, I mean, I watched the game last week against Troy. I watched it twice. LSU got shut out in the first half, and apparently Coach O went up to Canada and told him to essentially stop with the shifts and motions and basically to kind of go back to the old style LSU football. And they did that in the second half, and they were a little bit more successful, but of course not successful enough. They lost the game. What if that's true? What do you make of Coach O, who, to my knowledge, has no knowledge whatsoever of the offensive side of the ball, telling his offensive coordinator how to run things when he specifically stated, you know, all offseason he was not going to tinker with that side of the ball?
I think he needs to stay out of it. I mean, because I think Matt Canada is a pretty good OC, and he knows a heck of a lot more about offense than Ed Orgeron does. With that said, he is the head coach. So if things are not going well, I mean, I have no problem with him going up to his coordinator and saying, you know, he's the head guy. He's the man in charge. So I have no problem with him going up and saying, hey, what's going on here? Can we do something different? I understand a conversation there, but if it's like Ed Orgeron telling him, instructing him what to do offensively, I think that would be a pretty bad look.
Yeah, and he already admitted that, you know, Joe Oliva, the AD there, kind of ordered them into Coach O and the coordinators into a meeting to kind of, you know, break down the state of the program, essentially, ahead of this big game. I don't know how normal that is on a game week, but that seems odd. Just the micromanaging. I've also been told that, you know, the coordinators, you know, there might be a little bit of lack of respect for Coach O's knowledge. And I could kind of understand that if he's not respecting their game plans and they don't respect his knowledge, obviously there's going to be some issues there. So there's a lot of bad mojo right now in LSU. But, you know, you don't know how much truth there is to all these rumors. And, you know, they all start coming out all across the SEC once you start losing, and they immediately go away as soon as you win. And I think that's the perfect cure this week in Baton Rouge.
You are absolutely correct about that. So bye week this week for Tennessee not playing. All the other SEC teams are in conference. They have in-conference games in action this week besides Tennessee and Mississippi State. Mississippi State also off this week. So just to recap here, we did get through all the games, didn't we? Yes.
Yeah.
Just to recap, I've got Auburn big. You've got Auburn comfortable, correct? Mm-hmm. Georgia, I've got Georgia really big. And you said, what did you say in that one?
I like a 14-point game, so I like Vanderbilt to cover there.
Okay, so you're taking Vandy and Ole Miss basically to look a little bit better against Georgia and Auburn than I am. Okay, you like LSU, close game, I presume. Mm-hmm. I like Florida in a close game. We are in total agreement that Arkansas will beat South Carolina. I like Alabama to destroy Texas A&M. It's hard for me. It's hard for me to like to go bold on that one because I do think it'll be either a 3 or 4 touchdown game, but that's why the spread is in place as it is, right? Like, it's not crazy to think they'll win by 21 or 28. So I do like Bama to cover, though. You think it will be very close, but you still have Bama winning
by 17.
By 17. Okay, and then you like Mizzou over Kentucky. I like Kentucky to win.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's pretty much it then. Should be a fun weekend, I would hope.
Oh, and I also got an interesting stat on this Missouri game. They have given up 31 or more points in every single game, and Kentucky has yet to score 28 points in a game. So something's got to give in that one.
That is a really good stat. I hadn't seen that, but now that I think about it, I mean, yeah, I'm not surprised by it. I don't know. I could kind of see Kentucky blowing Missouri out, but it's hard to tell. Hard to tell with those two teams. So we'll just have to see what happens on Saturday, I guess.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Well, anything else before we make our way out here?
No, I just, I'm curious to know if Butch Jones will still be the coach by the time this posts in the morning.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
The groomers have started, and they're in full force right now.
I think poor Butch Jones is a dead man walking at this point in time. The way I've been saying it this week is it's almost like he's like a dog that has been hit in the street, and he's kind of limping his way to the side of the road now. And at some point, I think a truck's just going to come through and finish him off. So
I feel like doing an article on, you know, everyone's doing these articles where I mentioned, you know, hot lists of who Tennessee's going to hire to replace him. I want to do an article on where Butch Jones could land, like a legitimate article, just to cheer the guy up. You know, like I could totally see him becoming like the next Kansas State head coach or something like that. Like, just give him something to look forward to, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe
sounds like you're not buying it.
UTEP, UNLV, I don't know. No, I do it does suck for the guy, you know, because things are just so negative right now and it's so bad. And I do try to keep that in mind, you know, but at the same time it's like, I mean, the guy makes millions of dollars, you know. He knows what he's getting himself into. All these college coaches do. That's just the way it goes when you coach college football. You know, 90% of the time you're going to get fired, or you're at least there's going to be some kind of a change. I mean, you don't have that many Nick Sabans out there. So,
you know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but did you know Nick Saban has been fired from a coaching job?
No, I was not aware of that. When was that?
Years ago, he was fired from Ohio State. He was the defensive backs coach up there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I was not aware that Nick Saban ever coached DBs at Ohio State.
And I believe there was an opportunity for him to be either a defensive coordinator or head coach at some point early in his career, And I think he was not interested because of that experience.
Well, I guess he figured it out. He seems to have been okay since then. So, anyway, it's been a fun one. Episode 17. Thank you to everyone for tuning in, and also everyone who has tuned in to all of the other podcasts. I know I can speak for Mike on this one. We have a lot of fun doing this, and so you know, here we are already getting ready to be halfway through the season. So appreciate you guys tuning in, and we will be back with you here in just a couple of days when the lines come out for week 7. So until then, enjoy all of your SEC football this weekend. We'll see you next time.